Hello there, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, hoping you're making the most of this absolutely delightful day. If you joined us 2 weeks ago, you might remember that our feature story highlighted Columbus International and focused on what happens to food grown at the Highland Youth Gardens. Well, tonight we thought we'd give you a taste of the gardens themselves. Reporter Nicole Jackson, who also did the interview with staff at Columbus International, has more for you in a bit. But first, let's get positive with, okay, what else? A positive.
No, I'm positive. Positive. I'm positive.
Strides for South Sudan is an active organization and has been for the past 5 years at Upper Arlington High School. The club holds annual fundraisers to help raise money for the Lost Boys of Sudan, which is a group of over 20,000 boys of the Nuer and Dinka ethnic groups who were displaced during the Second Sudanese Civil War, and also help with their maternity clinic in Peel, Sudan. The Nuer and Dinka are two conflicting tribes of people that inhabit South Sudan. Gracie Bergdahl, president of the Strides for South Sudan Club, has been involved with the organization for 4 years. Upper Arlington High School teachers Mark Besh and Carolyn Angelos brought it to the students' attention. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noriel talks to Gracie Bergdahl about the club.
Just really was intrigued by it because it was something I never heard of. I didn't even know that there was a country called South Sudan. And so I was really excited to learn something new and be able to help other people. And I think the part where we were actually working with real Lost Boys, I think that was what really interest me, because it was something like tangible and you could talk to them and see what they were like.
Strides for South Sudan has raised over $55,000 to help with the maternity clinic and to feed those in need.
What have you done to raise money for the Lost Boys?
Every year we have a chili cook-off. I won last year, so I'm hoping to get that again. We do a annual walk-a-thon, which is in the spring, and for the last 2 years, we've done a tea bread sale, which has actually brought in a ton of revenue and money for the club. So that's been really helpful.
What do you hope to do with the club this year?
I hope to raise the most money that we've ever had in the program, because they actually really, really need it now. They're on the brink of another civil war, which is awful. But they need all the supplies they can get, and we need more humanitarian relief in the country because the people are fleeing where they're living, and there's no food, no resources to get what they need. So they're really in need of it.
Mark Besh is excited about the progress being made with Strides for South Sudan. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noriel talks to Mark Besh on how he feels the students have made an impact.
Do you feel the students have made an impact?
Heck yeah, the students have made an impact. Raised over $55,000, have helped fund a health clinic in a village that never had electricity, let alone a health clinic. So yes, they've impacted.
Mark Besh explains how to prevent a similar situation from happening again in South Sudan and how everyone can help by raising awareness.
Are there any ways that we can help prevent the same situation from happening again?
I just think by students being aware that these types of issues are happening in Africa, we look at the Ebola crisis that's taking place, I think the way to make sure these issues don't happen is being aware in the United States and knowing that we are a wealthy country and we do have to help those that are less fortunate. And Africa is certainly one of those continents that needs our help.
If you want to learn more about Strides for South Sudan or the Lost Boys, feel free to email Mark Besh at mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. That is mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. This has been Michael Roberts and Maya Noriel for Youth Beat Radio.
Sweaters and trade them for shorts and sundresses. Okay, I know I'm being a little too optimistic for Ohio, but hey, it's nice to hope. All in all, though, the weather is really starting to warm up for the season, meaning that we can all finally enjoy some time outdoors without having to wear copious layers. For some of us, not me, mind you, that means jogs around the neighborhood. For others, it means getting work done on the porch. And for still others, it means breaking out the gloves and shears and taking to the garden. I think one of the biggest appeals in gardening is that it can be done at almost any scale. Potted plants inside, tiny herb gardens on apartment balconies, flowers lining the walkways, veggie boxes in the backyard, or full-scale garden plots brimming with everything from flowers to bushes to trees and more. This means that just about anyone, just about anywhere, can be a gardener, even in the middle of Columbus, where it sometimes seems there isn't even enough room between buildings to breathe. Nicole Jackson took a trip to Highland Youth Gardens to learn a little bit about who they are, what they do, and why they do it.
So is there anything new you're looking to plant in the garden, or you have ideas about planting
yes,
in the garden?
Yes, the vertical garden is new. You can see where we've started to do this. Eventually, plants will be cascading out of the planter boxes, and each of those pipes will be like the yellow crayon, the background will be yellow, the green crayon, the background will be green. You know, we want to see the plants growing up and growing down, growing out. We want to teach the children about different styles of gardening so that they can maybe take something home, take a plant home or something, and start a little garden of their own using one of these techniques. So this is our newest part, and a student actually went from being a Boy Scout to getting his Eagle Scout by doing that project.
So how have you impacted the parents? Like, have they come to the garden too?
Yes, we've had four generations of family members in this garden. Even Bill Dawson from Franklin Park Conservatory. All of these daffodils that you see that have come and gone this spring were planted by him and his daughter and his granddaughter. Three generations of folks from just one family did this, and it will grow every year, and I'm reminded every year of Bill and his family. We've had four generations. The grandmother was planting and tying up tomatoes in the garden. Her daughter and granddaughter were helping put plants in, and the grandbaby, the great-grandbaby, was sitting in a little carrier right there beside the great-grandmother. Four generations. So we welcome parents. We have a 4-H program that is through OSU Extension. Four of our committee members are made up of four master gardeners from OSU Extension Franklin County. This year we received an OSU Cares grant for $10,000, and that grant will be used to teach the children on how to create recipes out of the food that they have grown in the garden. So twice a month for 6 months, we will have Chef Jim Warner from OSU Wexner Medical Center that is coming out to create these recipes. And hopefully you can stay today and see a little bit of that food
yes.
that he's going to create.
Definitely. So with okay. this beautiful space here, because this is just blowing my mind, that there's it looks small from afar, but once you start to really go to each section and look mm-hmm. at everything, there's such an importance, I feel, of each compartment and mm-hmm. everything that's set up.
Yes.
So as far as bringing in diversity and in culture, how has that impacted the garden?
The people that take part in the garden are as different as the plants in the garden. We have Somalian youth, Hispanic youth, children from Kentucky and West Virginia. We have an Asian community that's going to be housed at J. Ashburn Youth Center Over 50 children from Asian families will be coming into the garden this year. And adults. We are going to be inviting the children and the adults into the garden. And then we have, I say black, white, all different colors are in the garden. Look at the white flowers, the brown dirt, all the colors. There is seriously as many different cultures using this garden as you see the colors in the garden today. So, it's not about our income level. Mm-hmm. It's not about where we're from. It's about who we are. And we are a place to learn and grow together.
So do you have any special events coming up connecting yes. to the garden? People can
May
come
30th,
out and contribute?
May 30th will be our special event where there's beautification taking place with the German Village Garden Club at the Highland Elementary. And then we will have volunteers here in the garden from 9 to 12 on May 30th. 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And we welcome anyone that would like to come out. We also have a special day coming up on June 27th where we'll be doing a neighborhood cleanup. And then we'll also be doing planting in the garden, taking out the cool weather crops, putting in the summer crops, tying up more tomatoes. We're constantly, getting the tomatoes so that they are up off of the ground and where the children can really watch those tomatoes grow at eye level. We want them to be able to, just enjoy everything, not do the hard labor. So that's why, and it's not that it's hard labor. It's just fun labor, but we want a lot of the labor is done on our volunteer days. So May 30th and June 27th are both on Saturdays. That's the day where anyone can come and join us. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have children's programs from 9 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Those volunteers, we do ask that they have background checks before they come and volunteer because we're working with schools where the teachers have to have background checks. So all of our master gardeners are already fingerprinted and background checked. Our volunteers, Grandma and Bill, have been fingerprinted and background checked. The student from Ohio State, Scott Lang, he's had his background checked. We want, it's like I told you earlier, safety first. If we are safe, then we feel like we're able to teach more, because the children have a safe place to come to. So, but those 2 days are the next 2 days that are very important. We will be doing our Chefs in the City twice a month from May through October, and anyone is invited to come to those, and I'll share those dates with you so that people can come and see Chef Jim Warner and be involved in seeing the children's produce turned into beautiful recipes.
So is the garden open at a certain time, or is it just... Do you have certain open and closed
we do.
Hours?
We have hours of 9 to 12 Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. We also have the Urban League, which is two of the students from the Urban League will be coming here to work for 30 hours a week. So we're in operation about 30 hours a week. Our Mr. Bill, Bill Klein, that is our garden leader on all the plantings and everything, and he'll be over the students from the Urban League. He is here almost every day. I think some weeks he puts in 50 hours a week, and that's as a volunteer. Mainly it's in the spring and in the fall that he does that. But we're trying to get him to slow down and remember that he's retired and not still working. We really want to just, have people here and enjoy it. Saturdays is our big volunteer day. That's whenever I would like to encourage anyone to come out and just see the garden.
So do you have people just show up sometimes, or do they, is there a mixture of people that sign up?
Yeah, you can go on Facebook and actually sign up. We have a calendar on there. We have highlandyouthgarden.org is our webpage. You can go on there and sign up. That's where it is, not the Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, but sign up on our webpage to be a volunteer.
And so, what's your webpage?
It's highlandyouthgarden.org.
And if people want to find out more information about, you know, upcoming events and what you guys are doing in the community, would that be a good site to go to as well, the
yes.
HighlandYouthGarden.org
yes.
website?
Yes. And I'm pretty sure it's Highland Youth Garden. I'm sorry, I normally have it. It's on the sign in my car over at the school. It's either H Youth Garden or HighlandYouthGarden.org. But anytime you Google Highland Youth Garden, you will find us.
So are you the main contact person?
I am. I'm primarily the main contact person, but I shoot it out to everybody on our committee because all of us respond to different areas of the needs. Like Beth Urban is she's the one that works with our curriculum, works with helping educate the students on Saturday. Students, by the way, on Saturdays, we received a grant from United Way that allows us, we're just getting ready to receive it, allows us to have a kids day, a kids program in the garden on Saturdays. So that'll be along with the 4-H program that we have once a month. But the children will actually be creating recipes themselves right here in the garden. So we'll make salads, we'll make all different kinds of dishes. One time they made spaghetti squash and made a spaghetti sauce out of the tomatoes and the onions and the peppers, and then they had the spaghetti squash to have as, the noodles, kind of like the noodles. So
it's kind of like a squash spaghetti
yes.
that they're using.
Yes.
That's really cool. So the kids, when they're actually out in the gardens, like, do you have any memorable stories from the kids or things that stand out when the kids are out in the garden? But it creates a memory for them.
There's so many stories. I think the most important one to me is that whenever the children said that we are learning things here that we will use the rest of our lives. And that is something that is so important.
And the trees are sweetly blooming. Now that was Nicole Jackson and Peggy Murphy from Highland Youth Garden. We're just about to take a music break. When we come back, you'll be treated to our creature feature and our quote of the week. But for now, here's Here Comes the Sun from the Beatles.
Sun, I say it's all right.
This week's featured creature is a well-known but rambunctious and often troublesome little mammal. Raccoons aren't necessarily the most beloved creatures. Known for digging up yards and getting into trash cans, they are often shooed away wherever they are found. But these cute critters are far more cunning than they are malicious, and are usually just looking for a quick meal or a warm place to sleep. Highly diverse, they can be found throughout the United States, into the lowest reaches of southern Canada and the northern half of South America, and even a tiny part of Asia. Their favorite foods, like crayfish and frogs, are usually found living in water, and they use their quick, five-fingered hands to snatch these morsels up. That doesn't mean that they're not opportunists, however, and as many of us know, they'll happily go for bird feeders, trash cans, and poorly stored food at campsites. The best way to keep your goodies out of their paws is to make sure that you have locked or very well sealed your outdoor containers, and a bungee cord can often make a really good makeshift lock if you don't have one on you. And that brings us to our closing quote. We return to Ralph Waldo Emerson, the transcendental figurehead who quipped, "What is a weed? A plant whose virtues have not yet been discovered." For YouthBeat Radio, this is Lindsay. YouthBeat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University
Have a good one, Columbus.
Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.